Hello, everyone.
Hello.
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 Welcome to Reckless Attack, a respectfully quiet Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcast. Now, why are we speaking in sensible tones, refined, civilized tones?
Shh. This is a library.
Because this is a library. That's right. I hope no one turned up their volume in the interim. Welcome, everyone.
Oh, no.
I am GM Nathan. Thank you for joining us again. We're not in a fancy place anymore. We're not dancing. We're not smooching. We're not even doing obstacle courses anymore.
I feel like that's taking away player agency. We could, at this particular moment, choose to dance or smooch.
All right. Well, now that you've said that, I guess I have to rewrite all of my notes for tonight's session. But hey, everyone.
Sound off in the comments.
We're getting out of this friggin' library, maybe. Some of you are going to try to get out of this library. And who is it that will be trying this daring escape attempt, trying to check out all of these books? Well, I'm so glad that you asked, dear listener, starting across the table from me.
Hi, everyone. I'm David. And I play Kaskarin Brightmane, the Dwarven Warlock, who is not playing Kendrimmon Brightmane, the other guy. I messed up again, but it's fine. And Kaskarin is excited to get out of this library, because books are neat, but not that neat.
Not when they're trying to forcibly keep you in the library against your will.
And to my right.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jonathan, and I play Checkers, the Grung Druid, and his trusty pals, Mango, Junior, and Wendershins.
I immediately, my brain is like, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah, I was like, you didn't say frog.
Yeah, right.
Frog
no.
Oh, no. I know it's coming.
Well, if I just set it up right now, you have to let me have Wendershins.
I think you underestimate how committed I am to consistent phrasing at the top of episodes.
True. Okay.
Wittershins has to become a frog if you want this to have any shot of continuing on.
Okay, that's fair. And to my right.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sophie, and I play Valeska Carter, the human Astric cleric of the Arcana Domain. And Val understands why we have to leave the library, but she doesn't want to leave the library.
In an ideal world, we could all be very kumbaya about it. Yeah. We can all just be like, well, we can just hang out here for a little while, right?
Right. What's the animal handling DC on befriending the bookworm?
I guess we'll have to roll to find out.
And across the table from me.
Hey, everyone. My name is Steve, and I am playing Sylv Asterlin, the dragonborn monk, and his trusty dragon pal, the bookworm.
I thought you were going to talk about your Cannon. Trusty book pal, Titanius.
Oh, Titanius.
We are flush with pals.
Yeah. Yeah. No. It was a trusty butler pal, Chesterton Jeeveserton, obviously.
Who is clearly here.
Who is also Titanius, who is also a pile of books.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
We are very form fluid here on on Reckless Attack. And to my left, oh wait, you already introduced, I don't know.
It is I. Hello. Again, it's me. Last we left our adventurers, there was a big old fight. We thought that there was going to be just some romantic, I guess there would still be an escape, but like in a fun running across
fields. Elopement.
Yeah, an elopement.
Off into the sunset.
Right, exactly, or sunrise as it were. But things got a little bit more confrontational, both for the sake of propriety and of custom and of respect, but also in that an artificial intelligence that looks like a travel guide writer turned game show host is really desperate to keep you here for all eternity to do games for no one.
For the content.
For content, yeah. Capital C content. You guys are...
Maybe it hits a little too close to home.
I didn't say it.
You're getting reality on my D&D.
Oh no, I got to talk to my therapist about this. instead of all that lovely things, you guys are faced once more with the rotating face of Larry Steeves, along with his always present and never faced minions, the Silver Sky Whales, as well as the bookworm itself. You guys have made it to the marriage gateway, the marriage archway that is up on a dais in the middle of the gorgeous forest here on the Feathertop Estates. And yes, it is a full forest contained in the estate as part of their holdings, obviously.
They wouldn't have it any other way.
No, of course. But it is also, hopefully, the door out of the restricted section. You have received a library hall pass from those allies on the outside, or at least Selv has, and has basically said, hey, once you get to the door, say this passphrase, and we will know you're there, and then give us a little bit of time, and we'll open the door for you. And that is where we find our heroes. To really kick us off, Steve, could you once again deliver the catchphrase? Not the catchphrase. That's too minimizing.
Can you please sing the jingle?
The words of power. The passphrase. The lifeline. Something better than cool catchphrase.
I would be happy to.
Larry Steeves got in my head.
So when we were all gathered and ready to go, one of us just had to say,
we're ready to check out now.
And with that, I'm going to actually have everyone re-roll for initiative for part 2 of the escape combat.
What?
I'm just going to roll all my dice at once.
Castgrin with a 22.
Ooh.
I never go this high. Checkers with a 21.
Nice.
Okay, I'll just kind of doodle a couple names in there. Don't worry about it.
Steve, let me cut you off because Val rolled super hot. 19 for Val.
Ooh, okay.
I'm and just hoping not, that was actually better than Selv.
And once again, Selv Asterlin, the monk, the super dexterous monk, goes last among our group with a 17.
No problem. Easy peasy. As a reminder, and we'll get into this, I'm sure, a little bit in the combat, but there is a dais. It is not very far off the ground. It's, you know, just essentially a couple inches off the ground. It is not a sizable impediment to walk up or
no
down.
No falling damage.
Correct, exactly. Or you can't be like, well, do they have the climb speed to get up here? I don't think so. But there is probably about, we'll say, 20 by 20 feet or so. All you guys know at this juncture is hopefully in 10 to 20 seconds, the door will open and you'll be able to get out. Castgren, the party is assembled. Titanius is there. The frogs are there. All the books that you came questing after are there. And also a horrifying, murderous warbird is also there.
The most precious of us all.
Right. The actual main character of this podcast moving forward for a soft reboot that we're doing. But you also see all of the arrayed forces against you as the background starts glitching out and becoming unstable. The only things that you can see that are not are the bookworm, Larry Steeves, and their various athletic goons. What would you like to do?
Castgren sees the array of enemy forces amassed against us, and he begins to slowly walk forward towards the edge of the dais in this sort of like defiant pose. As he reaches the end of the dais, he stomps his foot on the ground, and as a bonus action, he casts stone forming as a halberd shoots up from the ground and he grabs it with one hand. He braces it with his other as if he is trying to hold against a charging enemy. And he stares with determination against the bookworm. The moment afterwards, his eyes shift over a little bit to the right, and he suddenly points and says, "What's that over there?" And he's going to try and sell the illusion that he placed last turn, that there's like the Grand Serviciousness still hiding around somewhere, waiting to hit us.
Oh my God, what's that? As if this
oh
could
my God.
Get any worse. Okay, give me another deception check.
That is a 26.
Christ.
Wow.
Yeah, hey. Yeah, I mean, at this point, you're throwing your voice so well that, like, bushes are shuddering a little bit. It's like, is that the wind? Is that the pixels? I don't know.
Like, I'm imagining the bookworm is here, so the silent aura is here. So, like, Kaskrin can't say anything, but he's miming super hard.
Yeah. That look of, like, desperation and fear on his face is really, like, Larry Steve's like, mwah, perfect. Just, oh, my God.
Well, if it's any consolation, and I should have said this earlier, as reality is starting to glitch and as you guys have kind of gotten this distance, you can tell that the aura around the bookworm has actually started to dissipate. As if, say, it was an ability that lasted for approximately 3 rounds of combat. And maybe at the start of your ruse, when you're just kind of miming, you're like, what's the, and we can't be heard. But slowly your voice kind of starts to come in and you realize that all of you can hear and maybe more importantly, can talk once more freely.
Yes, but he is going to brace himself against an oncoming attack, and that is my turn.
Excellent. Checkers, your go. You're riding a bird, right?
Yes, I am riding Wendigens.
Good. Yep, normal. Very good.
And large cubular mango is on the dais, but has atop him Val and Quincy. I would like to ask, with the repeated hits that Checkers has been getting in, how is Larry Steves looking? Like, am I cracking that glass, his glass head at all?
Well, first of all, the show must go on. So even if he were missing a limb, he would still be out there giving his best all day, every day for the fans. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to note that. But second of all, no, he's taking a good amount. I wouldn't say he's close to death.
Sure.
But he's in the bloodied range, I'll say.
Okay. So let's see if we can push him over the edge a little bit and just like keep him away with some more rocks. I'm going to conjure another rock, and I'm going to hurl it straight at his weird rotating head. That's a 15 to hit.
That is a hit.
All right.
Cannot forget the power of love that gives everyone a +1 and Val a +2.
Exactly. He's going to take 11 points of damage from the rock.
Hell yeah.
Why?
Because remember, you don't need money, you don't need fame, and you don't need a credit card to get onto this plane. That's the power of love.
As a bonus action, I'm going to use my second wind ability. So I'm going to just kind of center myself a little bit and think away the multiple wounds from his positive visualization. Right, exactly. From the thaumaturgical stick and the crossbow bolts and just kind of like see if I can recenter myself a little bit. I'm going to heal myself for...
You don't do a front flip and finger guns?
No, that's action surge.
That's different.
No, the action surge is the back flip. Okay, that's fair. So I'll front flip and finger guns for a second wind. Healing myself for 6 points of health.
Guys, I think we all just need to calm down a little bit, right? I think let's all just take a break. We have the green room all set up. You can just take as many. I read the bags of chips. Mm-hmm. Do you guys still eat bags of chips now in the time period we're in now? Because we have some great simulations of them just waiting for you guys.
Larry, it's been fun, but I think that we've really overstayed our welcome here in the restricted section, and we're late for a couple appointments, so I think we're just gonna head out.
Ooh, well, see, that's not gonna work for me. I'm actually just going to have to insist that, Sky Whales get them! And he's going to use one of his villain actions to command his Sky Whales, the Sky Whales, to take their full movement and run up to you guys. And they are right on the edge of the dais. We'll say right next to Kaskrin.
I have one dumb thing. Are any of them entering the range of Val's Spirit Guardian?
I hadn't asked yet.
Okay.
Where Val was on the dais, they would have avoided. Okay. Well, so the as one, much as possible.
The one thing is, and this is a dumb D&D thing again. Mm-hmm. Is like because she's riding Mango. From my understanding, Spirit Guardians is extended past the range of Mango because, and he's a 10x10 square.
Yeah.
So if it's 15 feet from Mango, it would cover the whole dais.
It's 15 feet, yeah.
Is that... I But Mango is not the source of the spell.
Right. But it's a dumb, like, weird D&D thing where, like, if you're on a larger mount than you are, it's like you're counted as being in all squares of that mount at the same time. It's really stupid.
Really?
I couldn't tell you why that's the case.
Nathan, I can get off Mango next turn.
Somehow, a big gust of wind comes up and gets pushed off. Okay. First of all, I hate that.
Yeah.
Both as a GM and also as just...
math.
Where's the math in
yeah,
this?
Right.
But I'll put it this way. The Sky Whales, they are last in the initiative order. Mm-hmm. And I believe that Spirit Guardians is at the start of their turn. So I will give you through the next round of combat to figure out the rule. And if you can find it and quote it, then I'll say... sure, because you're operating under a time crunch.
Well,
but I will say, I hate it.
So Spirit Guardians is when the creature enters the area for the first time on a turn.
On a turn.
Mm.
So if they're entering
or
the dais.
Or starts its turn there.
Yeah, or starts. So if they're entering the dais, we kind of have to figure this one out now. I'm sorry.
I imagine Val is kind of towards the back of the archway because she's on Mango. Mango took a hit and Quincy's like behind her. So I feel like she's trying to like be more towards the back, a little bit more protective, but she's not like directly on top of the archway because Selv was there doing the library hall pass.
Yeah. I'm going to do the on the fly rule of saying it is not extending to the 20 feet yet.
Okay.
But I will also use the honor system and not have Larry Steves tell them to attack people because they might not exist.
Okay. Cool.
That will be the compromise at the moment. But thank you for flagging.
Neat.
And if that is the rule, Wizards, you fucked up. Yeah. Like, and I know that I, as GM, am empowered to ignore rules that I don't like, but how dare you make me adjudicate this rule in particular?
Yeah.
Okay. It is now the bookworm's turn. And now that the aura of silence is gone, you can hear even clearer its intense breathing. Just a creature this large, and it's even a little bit translucent, but anything this big has big lungs. Therefore, all of its breaths are rattling around in your bodies, even though it still sounds like someone very loudly and animalistically telling you to hush. I'm gonna roll to recharge his breath weapon.
No.
Damn it!
Yeah!
Nice.
Frickin'.
Also, Nathan, you just made my brain go on an endless puzzle quest of what does a bookworm's lungs look like on the inside of his body? Are they very long lungs? Are there multiple pairs of lungs all along its very long body?
Yeah.
This is something my brain will tease out forever.
Yeah. chime in the comments, everybody. where would a kind of classic East Asian dragon of myth, where it is more of a snake than a, you know, kind
like
of
floating,
quadrupedal? Yeah.
Yeah.
Where the lungs be at?
Where the lungs be at?
Let us know in the comments. Hey, everyone, make me a dexterity saving throw, please.
No. I'm bad at those. I remain bad at those.
Is my plus two? Is that any D20 roll?
Yes, indeed.
Castgren with a 9. Checkers and Mango both with 20.
Nice. Ooh.
Selv with a 26.
Hey, there's your dexterity roll.
Yeah, and plus evasion. Ha ha.
Val with an 18.
Hey.
Wow, roll hot suck.
So Castgren only takes full damage. Everyone else takes half.
Ow, no.
As once again, the air fills with this... where it is a combination of an exhalation and a hush as the bookworm spins around and swings its tail at you all. You all take a total of 10 points of bludgeoning damage.
How?
Or halved.
But I flip over the tail.
Or less.
Just, I did find a response from Jeremy Crawford.
I'm looking
weighing
at right
in
now.
On it. Okay.
It's still
coming. Essentially what he said is that you do not take on the size of your mount. So basically what it ends up being, from my reading it, is you pick a square that it is originating from.
Yeah.
Oh, like the upper left or upper left.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
But it could be any one of those squares as your origin since you are mounted on
it.
I'm going to say, since we've already gone through this turn, I'm in the back left corner of the dais, and the Sky Whales are in the upper right
corner.
Okay.
So my 15 feet does not hit them right now.
That feels suboptimal, but I'll lie.
Val was protecting her love, Quincy.
That's,
yeah, but
it's called role playing, David.
You could have
been doing what
damage.
Her character would do.
There's no
I do it for love, David. I do it for love.
Love doesn't win battles, Sophie.
All right, that's enough of all that. Now it's Larry Steve's turn. He looks down at you guys, his head spinning a little bit faster now that the worm has done yet another whip-like attack and sent him spinning as well. He rights himself. He kind of blinks slowly as his head momentum returns to normal. And he says, as he picks up once more his now comically large thaumaturgical stick, it seems to maybe have never stopped growing throughout this entire combat, and says, well, fine. If you're not going to come willingly, we'll drag him back to the dressing rooms. We'll forge the contracts afterwards. We've done it before. I'll do it again. The show must go on.
You won't take us alive, Larry Steves, you madman.
He is going to, as a bonus action, he is going to regain some HP.
No.
And he is going to gain some damage resistances until the end of his next turn, because he is so filled with just righteous entertainer fury. Larry Steves says this, gets all hyped up, and then kind of looks around, not sure what to do. And he says, I think we need some more contestants. Come on down. And you see another batch of faceless faceless individuals as he calls for reinforcements. The dandelion dryads are now on the field.
This is going to hurt you guys. Yeah. Oh, God.
And he takes the dodge action as part of that. And he just kind of, you see him just kind of cower behind his thaumaturgical stick. That is the end of his turn, though. Val, it is your turn. There are librarians swirling somewhere between 50 and 20 feet away from you and swirling at a point of origin that could be fluid.
Val, having Mango and Quincy in the back left, safe as can be in this situation, Val will dismount Mango, therefore ridding us of this math.
Yeah. Yeah, solving the problem.
Again, we figured it out. I'm not worried about it. I think we can carry on as it were.
Then Val will move forward so the librarians kind of cover as much of the dais as possible. So they do envelop the sky whales.
Yeah, so you could probably even, if you got kind of right behind where Kaskrin has started kind of fortifying, then you would be able to get all of them in your aura, no matter what square you were emanating from.
Perfect, we'll do that. And then Val, as a first level spell, will cast Healing Word on herself.
Ooh, okay.
Great news. Maximum 8 points. As her action, she will have Larry Steves.
Okay.
Make me a dexterity saving throw.
Do I get a bonus for dodging? For when
ooh,
I against that?
Wait, if
yes.
that is true,
if
then
you,
no.
If you take the dodge action, you get advantage
ooh,
on dexterity saving
I don't
saving
know.
Throws.
I got then, two dice here, so.
He's probably pretty intelligent, right? Toll the dead! Wisdom saving throw!
He knows a lot of trivia, so I think that's...
That's intelligence.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. It's like, so that's not a bad pivot. That's pretty wise, too. natural 20.
Hey.
No!
So what is it that you were doing?
That was Toll the Dead.
Oh, yes. You reach out in a way, again, that is... I always imagine it as you are showing a living creature the kind of the fear of its own mortality.
Mm-hmm.
Larry Steves has no mortality. Larry Steves is forever. There are like 12 other Larry Steveses in like the next room, essentially, that are maybe some sort of hive consciousness. It's not entirely clear. He doesn't even notice that you've cast anything. Like, he didn't even pay attention that he was doing a saving throw and doesn't even have a witty retort because of it, because it was so nothing.
Just wait till next turn, Larry. I'm going to show you the end.
What? Roll those credits.
I'm sorry, Val. Did you say something? You have to project. Don't worry, we can work on it. It'll be fine.
And that is Val's turn. Just
okay.
Moved action, bonus action.
Selv, your turn.
quick question for Jonathan.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. What's up?
You currently have the original thaumaturgical stick, right? Is it kind of out, or is it somewhere?
I could throw it to you if you wanted it.
I think we're kind of close enough that I could, if it's readily visible, I could go and just kind of grab it.
Yeah.
I'm going to grab the thaumaturgical stick from Checkers.
Perfect.
And I am going to present myself front and center to the bookworm.
Okay. You guys know you can, like, punch, right?
Yes.
We could.
Unfortunately, Selv, not the most persuasive person, but I'm hoping with the loud volume
that will
cover up his inability to persuade things by just being loud about it.
and you have the power of love.
And I have the power of love. And I also am going to be saying this in Draconic.
Okay. What's happening?
So I'm going to say to the bookworm,
we are trying to leave. Larry Steves is trying to prevent us from exiting your library. If we stay, we may inadvertently cause you more harm.
Roll me a persuasion check with advantage and with an extra d4.
Ooh.
Here's why. A, cool idea.
Yeah.
Plus, saying it in Draconic, also very good. But Kaskarin has also been distracting the bookworm for multiple turns now. And the bookworm is a being presumably of a lot of intelligence, but there's like a lot going on. And I think it is very reasonable that there would be so many distractions happening right now that it can't just kind of laser focus on stop them, do whatever, grab them, hit them, breathe noxious gas on them, etc. So roll away.
All right.
I think that was a good look.
Oh my word, that is a lot of numbers.
Okay. It could have been also like, it was like so good that it's painful, yes, or
that,
I'm
that
not,
was kind of what
I'm
it
not
was.
Sure.
That's
so
me all the time.
the with advantage, the lower D20 is 16.
Oh.
The higher one is 19.
Hey. Nice.
With the plus one gives me 20, plus the extra D4 makes it 23.
Sick. Heck yeah.
Sick.
Who else speaks Draconic? Does anyone?
Valdez. I can bust out the list.
Statistically, yeah. It is likely. Again, it doesn't immediately matter.
Yeah, there's an 80% chance that Val speaks it.
Yeah,
this is a very old loosely piece of paper.
Yeah, I generated.
It's on here.
Fucking 40 languages, and Val speaks roughly half of them.
If she doesn't speak them, they are connected on the web of languages, so that she would have a base understanding and could make a role to understand. Because I made damn sure of that.
I took your whole system, Nathan, and I just tore it in
half. This is what I made Max, David. Languages.
Yeah, that's why I presented it. And I worked all of that in. It is not Sophie's fault that none of you took any points in intelligence to get any other languages. Okay. So, there is a pause in the battlefield for a moment. Spectral librarians swirl around silently, menacing with their overdue book stamps. As people brace for combat, as more athletes enter into the field of battle.
Contestants,
yeah, that also works. The only one who seems to be moving is Larry Steves' head. And you all can see his eyes kind of dart around the battlefield and just says, "Hey, what's the hold up there? Go get him."
Commercial break, Larry.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by A Foul Light Shines, a new free serial novel based on a D&D campaign. The Empire of Fire and Water has known 20 golden years of peace since the end of Agenion's War, a peace which is now in peril. When a ragtag group of friends intervene in a grotesque monster attack, they're too late to save a wounded man who leaves them with an encrypted journal and the words, trust no one, Tyr. Can the gang find Tyr, escape the claws of more strange monsters, and uncover the lurking threat to the Empire before it's too late? This story features themes of found family and strength in diversity, and is available for free on Campfire and Royal Road. A foul light shines. Come for the fantasy. Stay for the cheese-obsessed goblin gunslinger. Dark Dice is a critically acclaimed actual play podcast brought to you by Fool and Scholar Productions. With over 20 awards in sound design, Dark Dice brings its horror-themed campaigns to life with snappy combats, terrifying monsters, and tons of original music. Each episode is only 45 minutes long and features an all-star cast of seasoned role players and first-time players alike, including folks you might recognize, like Jeff Goldblum, Lily Pichu, and Jasper William Cartwright. Start with Season 1 and follow the adventurers on their quest to investigate a doppelganger, or jump into Season 2 and listen to a new story about a terrible, corrupting sound that infects all who hear it. Dark Dice is available for free however you listen to podcasts or at darkdice.com. So ask yourself, do you seek him? You just said the most devastating thing that Larry Steves. No one tells Larry it's time to go to commercial. And the bookworm looks down at the battlefield in front of you and says in Draconic,
since your arrival, you have offered the restricted section naught but chaos. But worse yet, one of you has transgressed the most fundamental rule of this place.
And now I really hope Val speaks Draconic, because the dragon looks down at Val, and it talks without moving its mouth, and you realize it might be talking in your heads.
One of you did not have proper authorization to check out a book.
And then dramatic music plays in the background. Dun, dun, dun.
Well, luckily, we have an official representative of the library here who can process the proper paperwork.
Ooh.
To switch the ownership of the checked out book from the previous person to the new borrower.
Can I just side note, I love that this drama is of library etiquette.
Yes, 100%. As soon as it happened, it's like, oh, this is very good, actually. As I've been waiting, I've been sitting on this for like many weeks.
Nobody wants to fight the worm. We're just going to talk.
Good. I mean, you shouldn't. Spoiler, you shouldn't want to.
Worm, sorry. I'm so sorry. I will fill out the paperwork.
As you say that, over the increasingly panicked cries of Larry Steves. Hey, what are we doing? Oh, hey, hold on. Let's talk about this. What's going on? The worm encircles the entire dais, forming a ring around you with its head right in front of Selv and Val. I mean, its head is right in front of everyone's because it's big, big. And he says,
the transgressor cannot leave this place until this is corrected.
I'm going to turn to Titanius and say,
we need to switch the borrower of the Libra Morte from Checkers to Val, and then we will be allowed to leave without any more incidents.
You can see Titanius is still kind of muttering to himself a little bit. Self, could you make me another check to get him to snap out of it? Doesn't need to be a charisma-based one, but I will still give you advantage on it. because you're speaking his language.
Yes, the whole get out of the library. Okay, in that case, I was trying to figure out how to swing insight into that kind of check. But yeah, I guess the insight of Titanius, I know Titanius wants to leave. This is how he gets out, and no more scary incidents of creatures coming into the void or you know, him being locked in here.
You're figuring out exactly what he needs to hear in this moment.
Yes. With insight and the power of love. It's a 5 on one die, but a 14 on the other for a total of 21.
Nice. Nice. What do you roll insight?
With the power of love.
With the power of love. Titanius, as soon as you start talking about getting out of here and filing paperwork, Titanius's translucent eyes come into focus and he looks up at you and he just nods and starts rifling through the pile of books that he is made out of. Soon, several note cards start just flying out of nowhere as if his Rolodex is in there somewhere too. And he immediately finds, okay, this is it, found it. And he grabs it and just, you can see him just scribbling furiously on what appears to be a blank note card, but is clearly
something. I will take a non-mechanical defensive position.
Yep.
In between Titanius and the bookworm and kind of block Titanius's view of the bookworm so he is not distracted by it.
You gotta protect that man from Larry Steves, not the bookworm.
Speaking of,
the bookworm is closer and more bigger.
Yes. Hey guys, you hear Larry Steves say again. Now he's just like circling above you guys, just in a rotating circuit on the head of the worm. So, hey guys, they're doing something now. Could you go ahead and could you stop them from doing? Could you get over there? He says to his contestants. Speaking of contestants, it is unfortunately the Sky Whale's turn, and they're about to have some pain. I think so. What do I have to roll?
Wisdom saving throw.
Okay, what's the DC?
16.
Two passes, two fails. What is the damage?
Shit. That'll be 9 points of damage. And then on a save, they take half as much.
So again, these are all minions. Both the squads of contestants are minions. So minions, at least according to the MCDM Flea Mortals book, if they take any damage from a failed saving throw, they're dead. They're dead.
Nice.
If they save, they can still die, but it has to still pass their HP threshold, basically.
Oh, right.
They have an HP threshold that is higher than the 9 points of damage, or less, actually, because they took half damage. So the ones who saved are still there, but the two who did not, what does it look like when they get walloped or shushed or whatever by the spectral librarians?
I actually really want them to be distracted by, like, the librarians walking up, like, menacingly stamping their overdue stamps, and then fucking blindsided by this tiny little lady with the cart and just over.
Yeah, just you see this, the cart just goes flying off the dais, taking two of them. Ah! There are still two. They're off the dais, but they're still kind of right in front of, like, there is them and Kashgren. You are between them and Val.
Like a charging bull, this tiny granny librarian adjusts her spectacles and, like, scrapes her foot like she's revving up for another run.
Yeah, exactly. And just you hear the clanking of the wheel that just hasn't been greased properly. Yeah,
the one squeaky wheel.
I'm also getting that Ghostbusters vibe of the library, the ghost in the library, where it's always like shh, and all of a sudden it does the big freak out and
very
scares
them all. So it is going. The remaining two are going to take a joint attack against Kaskrin.
Okay.
It's pretty bad to hit now, unfortunately. 13?
That misses.
13 does not. So they both grasp out at you, Kaskrin, and are very clearly trying to grab a hold of you and find any sort of purchase that they can in your armor, in your beard, anything they can grab and pull you back off the dais.
Mm-hmm. And Kaskrin is just using the halberd to like kind of carry them away from himself.
Excellent. Now it is time for the dandelion dryads who are here as well. I think they have to double move and take kind of a circuitous route to make sure that they don't go anywhere near Val's aura or anything like that. But they are going to come up probably just off the dais maybe and kind of all start to gather around you, Selv, and Titanius.
So they're not on the dais, but they are next to me.
Correct.
Okay.
At the end of the round, Val and Kaskrin and Checkers are surrounded by spectral librarians and have a couple of the sky whales still kind of there trying desperately to grab at you guys. And on the other side of the dais is Selv and Titanius, who are scribing away on something as another group of contestants start to come in. In the middle there is Checkers on a bird. Mm-hmm. I don't think we've officially...
Yeah, Checkers on Wenderson.
He's around. He is mechanically available at all times. And then there is Larry Steeves and the bookworm just a little above you guys, encircling you, as Larry Steeves is just kind of cursing a little bit in a variety of now dead languages. As we start into the next round of combat, you guys see not just through the gateway now, which had been emanating this little bit of energy, but now on the dais itself, you see a faint glow start to kick up. Just this kind of faint pinkish red that is now starting to swirl under your feet. Selv, somewhere, maybe it's just a trick of your imagination, maybe it's the wind, maybe it's all this glitching landscape, which is now not even reforming in the same way that it was, not really snapping back. You could swear, somewhere on the breeze, you can hear a voice. Hang on. And that's the top of the round. Kaskrin, it is your turn. You are face to face with a couple of contestants. Val and a frog are at your back, and there are a lot of ghost angry librarians just doing like fucking pile drivers over here. Yeah. What would you like to do?
Kaskrin is pushing these two silver sky whales back with a halberd. And as he gets them into range, he is going to take a swing at one of them. That is going to be a 26 to hit.
Absolutely hits. And they are adjacent, so if you roll high enough, you can actually do overkill damage and maybe kill both.
Hell yeah. That is a 13. I rolled a 10.
You have passed the hit dice or the hit point threshold of these minions with that 13 points of damage. It is 12 points of damage that you needed to get past.
Heck yeah.
So, because you have gone all the way past, all extra damage ticks over to the next one, which, because they're minions, you only needed one more point of damage to fully kill the second one that is also there. So please describe one swing, two kills.
As one of the silver sky whales is charging Kaskrin, he runs him through with the halberd and impales him in the chest, and then swings the halberd forward in this kind of like push position to knock the other one over. And as he runs forward, both of them are thrown to the ground in front of him.
Dead.
Heck yeah, Kaskrin.
Sick. Anything else?
I'm going to retreat a little bit closer to the arch, and that is it for my turn.
Now the big enemies surrounding the dais are the dandelion dryads that are close to harassing Selv. I'm going to do my best to keep Larry Steeves off of the dais. We're going to show him where all these rocks are coming from and keep throwing them. So,
and are you just out of spells, basically?
Yeah. So we're going to throw a rock at Larry Steeves. That'll be a 22 to hit.
Definitely hits.
13 points of bludgeoning damage.
Ooh, he takes a little less because he told everyone to get their butts going. But he still takes.
This is for rocks.
How is he looking?
Still pretty healthy.
Ah, dang. Okay, we're going to do a quick backflip. And I'm going to action surge and summon up another rock. Again, if I can just keep Larry Steeves away by throwing rocks at him, I'll be so happy.
Okay.
That is a crit.
Okay.
Nice. Wow.
So I'm going to roll double damage dice. That's going to be 21 points of magical blood damage.
Nice. Ow.
Get them,
okay.
Checkers. There's plenty more where that gun came from.
Hey, would you stop? Hey, come on. Can we be professional here, please?
No.
You are going to give me simulation chips.
I thought you were a star.
I guess that's what they mean by him being a stone's throw away.
Anything else, Jaggers?
As a bonus action, I'm going to command Mango to go over to where Selv is and just kind of like take a swipe at one of the dandelion dryads just to kind of like fend them off. So Mango's going to make a quick attack.
Quick attack. Does he have the power points to use quick attack?
15 to hit.
That is a hit.
That'll be 8 points of bludgeoning damage.
Okay, that knocks one of them off. So sweet. Just describe what, I guess, Mango doing a little poke and killing up the whole creature would look like.
Please remember, he's a cubule,
yes,
of course.
Right, exactly. Yes. So he puts like a squareular hoof. Just and just kind of like kicks forward. But again, he looks like a Minecraft cow. So he's just kind of like waddling forward next to the dryads. And just bop.
Just do one kick and just it hits him right perfectly in the place, like in between the eyes, and right. Just he's out.
Right. Perfect. Good boy, Mango. You did it.
The worm would like to go now, and it continues circling. And it asks very simply,
"Esteemed librarian, is your task complete?"
Titanius, you hear, again, even though he doesn't breathe, man, that dude does a lot of nervous wheezing. Yes. Hold on. Val, I need you to sign. Well, actually, Checkers and Val, I need you to sign this. And he like literally runs over to Checkers in the middle of combat and like extends a new hastily created Rolodex card for the Liber Morte. There is one signature area for Checkers that is like essentially I relinquish my borrowership over this particular tome, and underneath it is one for Val saying, I am the one who is now checking this book out.
Checkers is going to sign this document the way he signs all documents, which is scribbling on his hand with the pen and just slapping it down on the paper.
Titanius looks at it, looks up at you, looks at it, looks up at the worm, and then turns to the worm and says, this is binding. It's fine.
Agreed.
And he runs over to Val. Now it is Larry Steves' turn. He's going to say, no, this is my big chance. You're not going to ruin it for me. You see him take a couple of like kind of very awkward steps back, and then he runs forward and jumps off of the bookworm to land on you guys. And it's not that high up, but I'm going to have him make an athletics check to see if he jumps far enough to get out of Val's aura, essentially. He rolled a 2.
Oh.
So he does not. In fact, that is so bad. Okay, I rolled again to see if he would just land on his face, but then he rolled a natural 20. So
okay.
Unfortunately, he lands like a cat, but definitely not as far as he wanted to go. So you see him jump down. He has his thaumaturgical. Again, now it's like a tree trunk, essentially, that he's just holding on to as if he's giving it a big hug, and jumps down, but his foot slips a little bit, and he doesn't quite go as far as he wants, and he drops down right next to Val and Cascarin, who is, I know you've moved back just a little bit, too, but is right next to you guys, and he gets up very dramatically and realizes there are ghostly librarians everywhere, and he is going to do 2 quick bops against each of you.
Well, wait. He's entered.
Damn it!
The space.
Fuck, so you're right.
He needs to make...
Wisdom save.
DC 16.
That's a natural 1.
Ah. Heck yeah!
God. My precious Larry.
Oh, God. I rolled shit. 5 points of damage.
Oh, it's not... Definitely not enough. I might not get all of you, but I'm getting one mortal for my show, damn it! And he, with surprising strength... power lifts his thaumaturgical stick upwards and then tries to put it over you as if it's like kind of like a restraint around you. Mm-hmm. And he's going to try twice to grapple you.
That's an 8.
I only rolled an 11, but unfortunately, he...
I don't have a negative.
Grabs you and he like just almost like crushes your chest a little bit. And he starts walking Val off the platform. he is able to move 15 feet. So even though he trips a little bit off of the off of the dais, you guys can see Val is being moved off. And you know, maybe not at the end of the round, but almost immediately after, you guys might be zipped out of here. And the door doesn't stay open. You guys can all see Larry Steves is now looking bonkers. Like, that dude is desperate, unhinged, and he is like almost frothing at the mouth. Just, the show must go on. The show must go on.
Team, guys, this is bad. Help. Larry, we can talk about this. If you put me down, I'm losing air.
No, I tried. I thought we were going to be partners. We were going to be partners in this, but no. Now you're going to be my little puppet. You're going to dance. You're going to jump. You're going to answer trivia whenever I want you to. And that's just what's going to happen, okay?
Val being crushed between Larry and his thaumaturgical tree trunk stick will quickly cast spiritual weapon, and it just looks like a stack of bureaucratic library paperwork that falls directly on top of him. So that is an attack roll. Natural 20!
Nice. Yeah. Wow. Nice. Hell yeah.
Not riding on this.
Oh, shit. My D8s are rolling like garbage. That is 10 points of damage.
Ooh, okay.
And then as an action, Val will cast...
Ooh, you're going to try and damage him. Not break the grapple?
Val has zero.
I'm not disagreeing. I just wanted to make sure that was the case. I think that not wrong to do, but...
I don't know.
Lot riding on this. What's your HP? Just like fireball yourself.
24.
Yeah. Yeah, see?
You survive that, yeah.
I don't have fireball, team.
What kind of cleric
are
you?
What a shitty wizard you built.
Yeah, what kind of wizard are you?
Not the cleric.
Wait, what do you mean cleric?
I'm going to do Toll the Dead, because that has the potential for the most damage.
Okay, yeah.
So that is a wisdom saving throw on his part, DC 16.
That's a pass.
No! I got greedy and I wanted to do the D12.
Yeah. Again, Larry Steves is so single-mindedly focused on the spotlight that he'll never die.
Yeah.
As far as he cares. You cannot kill him in a way that is meaningful.
Selv is currently next to four dandelion dryads.
Correct.
Okay. I am going to then, I'm going to provoke the attacks of opportunity from them.
Got it.
I am going to move so that I am still on the dais, but within 15 feet of Val and Larry.
Okay. Attack of opportunity. 19 to hit.
That'll hit.
14 points of bludgeoning damage.
Oh, crap.
It's four. I lied.
Oh, my gosh. I was like, damn, we called it the
I was looking.
Yeah, holy crap.
Too many numbers.
Wait. I'm sorry. 4 points?
4 points.
Okay.
Of bludgeoning damage.
I was like, oh, my God, I made a terrible mistake. I am going to...
No, I'm supposed to... Oh, okay. So
I've
been, hey guys, I've been running this wrong. I'm not going to change literally anything except for this attack right now. I'm supposed to multiply the base damage by how many are attacking. So you actually took 16 points of bludgeoning damage.
Oh, after all that.
Thank you guys for reacting so strongly so that I would go back and double check the rules on that.
Okay.
Oh my God, Val would have died so long ago. Oh, yeah.
that was not...
You were
great.
Just waiting in all those groups of minions that don't care in the world. Yeah. You're like, yeah, whatever.
Never again.
They could have done like 20 points of damage.
Never again.
It's fine.
We're running away from minions now. They
oh
suck.
Oh my God.
All right. So now that I've moved, I'm going to use the Fist of Unbroken Air, and I'm going to try to hit Larry.
Ooh.
Perhaps a couple of times. First attack is going to be with the power of love. 22 to hit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Larry will take 4 points of damage.
Not 16 points of damage.
No, correct. Okay. However, since I've hit, I need Larry to make a strength saving throw, DC 14.
Mm-hmm.
If he fails, he gets pushed back 10 feet, and that will break the grapple.
I rolled a 17 on the die.
Ah!
Well, with his minus six.
No. He's okay. A pretty hardy individual, unfortunately.
Gotcha.
Being a semi-construct.
Okay, in that case, I will take my second attack.
Great.
22 to hit again. 8 points of damage.
Nice.
Bludgeoning damage.
Larry is not feeling good, you guys.
And I will spend another key point, and so please make another strength saving throw.
It's a 14 on the die, and he is a big he is a pretty big bonus.
All right. I will use a bonus action to attack one more time.
Okay. So you guys can see Larry Steves is still valiantly dragging Val across this, you know, kind of trying to drag her anywhere but towards the dais. And as Selv is just wailing on him with these just gusts of air, you can see his head is still rotating, but it's wobbling on his axis a little bit and is kind of jittering. And he's like, the show must go on. The show must go on. Give me a roll.
The show has been canceled, Larry.
We only got one season.
That is an 18 on the die
okay.
for a total of 24?
Yep.
Good. 6 points of damage.
Steve, what does it look like when you kill this incarnation of Larry God. Steve?
Wow. Jeez. All right. So Selv is on the dais, and he's just been foom, foom. And it's like, this is not working.
The witty retort. That's what's needed.
As soon as he says that that Larry's been canceled, and again, one last gust of wind, and it catches Larry in his rotating head and just knocks him backwards and down, and there is kind of a small explosion of pixels.
So at the end of your turn, as Larry Steves, this version of Larry Steves at least, flies off into the distance, you all see the dandelion dryads start to clamber up onto the dais and start to run towards, we'll say probably Checkers.
And Mango's in the way.
Oh, that's true. Are going to start beating on Mango.
No.
Unfortunately.
My boy.
Really quick. They miss. So again, they just are like trying to wail and try to pull him, but he's very large and very
cube.
Stubborn.
The cube.
And they are totally unable to do anything to Mango, essentially. As soon as the dryads kind of enter on, as the round ends, all that red energy starts building up even more intensely. And you've got to believe that whatever's about to happen must be moments away. As all of this chaos is happening, as you guys, especially those who are still near the gate, see the dandelion dryads hop up, and you realize that, oh no, they're up here. Selv, you feel a very strange pressure on your shoulders, where it starts out as almost a pinprick right on the top of your shoulder. And grows in intensity and intensity and kind of starts burning a little bit. And then happens the other shoulder. You realize that there are two dwarven ghostly skeletal hands grabbing your shoulders and gi, just hauling you and Val onto the dais as Titanius is again, despite having no corporeal form, just... Gotta leave, gotta go. And as you all flop onto the dais, he extends a note card out to Val.
Val grabs it quickly and signs a still perfectly calligraphized signature. Yeah.
You all hear a reverberating voice.
The transaction is complete. Please enjoy your books. And come back soon to the restricted section.
As soon as that's over, you all feel this gust of what you unfortunately know as the poisonous, noxious breath of the dragon, but this time aimed at the dandelion dryads, who are all just kind of like melted and withered underneath the pressure of this horrible thing. The light builds and builds, and you feel that same pulling sensation that brought you into the library all those episodes ago, but in reverse, as if your belly button is being pushed outwards. And the last thing that you hear is a bone-rattling sigh of relief from Titanius as you all exit the restricted section of the library. And that is where we'll see you all next week, everyone. Congratulations, woo! Yay! Woo! Oh, and by the way,
yeah,
you level up, suckers!
Hey! Hey!
See you next time.
Bye!
What are you doing?
The way it started off.
Yeah.
Very, it's
not the way it is. Yeah.
I was like.
And then it continues. Right? And
I was like, both of you are sweating. Your skin, your scales glistening, muscles flexing.
Look, to quote the Mini Project, there is nothing homoerotic about one man imposing his will through combat on another man.